Hello and welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm Laura Zaro-Kopinski. This week, Heather Bell Adams is on the show to discuss her first novel, Maranatha Road. Winner of the James Still Fiction Prize and Carrie McRae Memorial Literary Award, Heather is also a lawyer and lives in Raleigh, North Carolina with her husband and son. Heather, welcome to A Bookish Home.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Congratulations on the novel. It's just so beautifully written, incredibly thought-provoking. I really enjoyed it. So I'm really looking forward to getting to hear more from you about it.
Well, thank you. That's so nice to hear.
So tell us a little about the story.
Sure. Maranatha Road is, at its heart, a story about two women. Sadie Caswell, whose son dies shortly before his wedding, and Tinley Green, the young stranger who shows up claiming she's pregnant with his child.
Where did those characters come from? And I was curious if one part of the story or one perspective is what you were originally sort of inspired by.
Yes. The character of Tinley came to me first. The story actually started with sort of this image in my mind of a young girl in a rainstorm. She was in this sort of abandoned farm building, and I pictured her sort of looking through a crack in the wood out at the rain, and she was waiting on her parents to return. And that turned out to be the first chapter of the book. And of course, you go through a lot of revisions with agents and editors and so on, but that sort of image did stick with chapter one. That's the chapter one as it appears now. So that's the character of Tinley. She was that young girl in the rainstorm. And then pretty quickly after I thought of Tinley, and I didn't really know where her story was going yet, but then I sort of, you know, met in my mind, if you will, this older woman who was a mother, and she had this son who had had kind of some ups and downs throughout his life. He had had some mental health struggles. And as I was thinking about her, her son was just about to be married, and it was supposed to be this very promising, happy, joyful time for him. But as his mother, she could see a side of him that maybe nobody else could. And she could tell that he wasn't necessarily in a good place. And so she was really concerned about him and wondering if there was anything she could do to help him. And so that maternal character ended up becoming Sadie Caswell, who's kind of our other main character in the book.
This is fascinating to me. I just find it so interesting hearing how authors come up with their characters, and certain authors, as you're sort of talking about it, I just think it's fascinating hearing how certain storylines or images or characters just sort of come to you. And I'm just curious a little bit more about that. As you're, you know, you have that image of what comes to be Tinley. Right. And later you sort of are thinking about this older woman, Sadie. Are you sort of sitting there thinking, how can I weave these two together? Or is it more organic than that? Like you, I guess I'm just curious about that. I just find that so interesting.
Right. I think it can vary project to project a little bit. But with Maranatha Road, it was, you know, especially since it was my first novel, I wasn't really sure how to go about doing it. Yeah. And it was a very organic process for me, meaning that sometimes I would just open my notebook and start writing with no preconceived plan of what I was going to write about or what I was going to say. And I just sort of let the character, you know, say what she wanted to say or do what she wanted to do. And I did that for quite some time with both of these women, so Tinley and Sadie. And I reached a point in that process where I did start asking, okay, are their stories going to intersect? And if so, how? And I had this desire for them both to stay in the story and both to stay central to the story, and ultimately to have a significant impact on each other's lives. So I really brainstormed from there, and I like asking what if questions when I'm drafting. So that's how I came up eventually with the idea, you know, what if Tinley had secretly met Sadie's son when he was engaged to someone else? And, you know, that's how after he's gone, that's how, you know, she comes to Sadie for help.
I was thinking a lot as I was reading this book about the relationships between parents and children. And, you know, through Tinley and Sadie, we sort of get that from the child's perspective and the parent's perspective, even though Sadie is not her mother, but just, you know, watching, I don't want to give too much away, but I had a very visceral reaction reading about in that first chapter, Tinley waiting for her parents to come home. And I don't think it's too much of a spoiler because it happens right away to right. share that they don't come home. And that's just heartbreaking. And from there, just the series of events that take place in her life is really hard to read as a parent mm-hmm. myself, and thinking of her as a child and she's a young woman by that point. But and then Sadie too experiences so much heartbreak at the loss of her son. Just a very moving story. And was it difficult at times to sort of to occupy that space, because they're both characters are really carrying a lot and a lot of pain. And of course there's hope there too, particularly as time goes on, but was it difficult right. to sort of stay in that writing space?
You know, not necessarily, but only because I knew pretty early on how I wanted the story to end, or at least I didn't necessarily have the last scene in mind, but I had the trajectory toward redemption or reconciliation or, you know, light around the corner mm-hmm. In mind. And so it was difficult, but it was manageable because I had that end in sight, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was fun for me to, fun's maybe not the right word, because as you mentioned, there are a lot of hard times that these characters go through. But I enjoyed putting myself in their perspective, especially when I was writing the book. My son was probably in middle school. And so, you know, I could try to look in the future and think, well, how's it going to feel when my son is an adult in his own right, but I'm still his mother? And mm-hmm. What if I saw him going in a direction that I was really concerned about? You know, how would that feel? And then from Tinley's perspective, my mother passed away when I was a senior in high school. And so I drew on that experience a little bit to, you know, to inform Tinley as we begin the story with her. And the way that developed with her, and this almost surprised me a little bit as the story went on, was, you know, given Tinley's background and what she had experienced prior to meeting Mark Caswell, so Sadie's son, it made that meeting with him and it made her experience with him just so central to her and so important to her. And she viewed him almost as a savior character. When if she hadn't had that background, if they had met perhaps under more normal circumstances, she would not necessarily have assigned the weight that she did to the relationship, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think one of the things that that I loved about the book, just sort of sinking into it, and there's so many just really interesting observations about people and life. And, you know, even though there is so much sadness that these characters are going through, just sort of sinking into the moments that I stopped and savored what they were thinking, or sort of a, even just a beautiful sentence. I don't know. I just, it's a book that I really slowly read, and
I love that.
Yeah. I marking it up and just really savored it.
Well, I appreciate that, because I like that as a reader too. I like reading books that, you know, that I react to that way. So I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, so much of it really resonated. Well, I was curious too. I know you had shared, so I'll share with listeners. We actually met at Muse in the Marketplace, a writing conference in Boston, and you had shared that you're also a full-time lawyer, which I thought was very impressive. I'm curious what your writing process is like, and I would just also love to hear how you managed to fit all this in, because I know you also have a new book coming out as well. So that's so exciting.
thank you. Yeah. So my new book is called The Good Luck Stone, and that's coming out from Haywire Books this summer. So that's exciting. So I'm a full-time lawyer. I manage litigation for a bank in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I worked for an Atlanta-based law firm when I was writing Maranatha Road. I did class action defense mostly. So I was traveling a lot around the country. I had various, you know, cases all over the United States. And what I did, I didn't have a set writing routine necessarily for either book. But I just try to fit writing in, I guess I would call it, into the margins, right? So I would write a scene in the airport waiting for my flight, or in the carpool line at my son's school, or waiting for my takeout lunch. You know, I carried around a little notebook with me. My friends kind of tease me about it sometimes, because it's just a little, you know, Target notebook. I try anyway to write little snippets. You know, certainly sometimes you don't have time to get a whole scene down or anything like that. Other times it might be just jotting notes to myself about, oh, you know, I just realized I want to highlight this aspect of this character more. Maybe this is a place to do that. Little notes to myself. But I found that, you know, over time, those little moments really do build up into a significant amount of time, at least in the drafting process.
Right.
So I can draft a story in little snippets of time like that. I will admit, when it comes to big scale revision, it's pretty hard to do it that way. You know, you really need a big chunk of time to dig into a large revision. So that's a little bit harder to fit into the daily schedule, but
right,
you make it work.
Yeah, no, I think that's so inspiring though, especially, you know, we're talking at the beginning of January, and I think many people, if it's not writing, have something that they're hoping to do more of in the new year. And I think it's really inspiring to think about how those little pockets of time can really add up. And the idea of you walking around with your notebook is reminding me of I read this middle grade biography of Lucy Maud Montgomery. I don't know if you're an Anne of Green Gables fan.
Of course.
Yes. But she, I guess, would always have her little notebook in her apron and was constantly like stopping every like 20 minutes while she was around the house jotting things down, and would look like she was talking to herself all the time. And
right.
Yeah. It's a true writer.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I guess speaking of Anne of Green Gables makes me think of it. I'm curious if there are any books that really meant a lot to you growing up, or maybe even inspired you to write.
Yeah. Well, I definitely grew up a reader, always going to the local library and, you know, checking out as many books as I could carry home. When I was growing up, I definitely liked the Anne of Green Gables and Emily of New Moon series. I liked Zilpha Keatley-Schneider a lot. I don't know if you know her.
No.
The Velvet Room was a favorite of mine. The Egypt Game, I think, was fairly popular at the time.
Oh, yes. Okay, I do know that one. Yeah, I haven't read it, but I've definitely really seen it.
Mm-hmm. Really fun stories. In terms of inspiring my own writing, I want to mention an author named Amy Green. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She is from Eastern Tennessee, and Maranatha Road is set in Western North Carolina, so not too far geographically. And that's where I grew up. And Amy has written two books, Bloodroot and Long Man. They're both out from Knopf. And reading those books, I guess it was really just Bloodroot that was out when I was writing Maranatha, but it really, really inspired me because she has such beautiful attention to language, and you know, the geographic setting was so similar to what I was trying to do. Bloodroot was one of those books where I closed it when I finished it and I just sort of held it to my chest for a minute and just thought, wow, you know, if I could ever write a story that even approached that, I would just be so happy. and I actually met Amy when I was writing the book, and she was very encouraging. And so that was definitely, you know, that was definitely an encouragement and inspiration in the writing of that book.
That's so nice. You're actually reminding me too. When I was preparing to talk with you, I was looking just at your website some more, and it's funny sometimes when you realize what a small world the writing community right. is. But I was noticing that Julie Cantrell and Susan Bernhard both yes. have read your second book, and it's funny now that I see that, I'm like, oh, I could totally picture on a shelf Perennials by Julie Cantrell, and then Maranatha Road, and then Winter Loon by Susan Bernhard. Like, yes. I could just so, like, they fit so well together. And I loved Perennials. And then I actually got to meet Susan Bernhard and moderated her panel at the Boston Book Festival. So I was like, oh, what a small world that.
Nice.
But I just loved those books as well. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. Same taste.
Yeah. Well, they were both. So Julie and Susan were both so generous and nice to read the new book, The Good Luck Stone. And Julie Cantrell actually, I worked with her in an editorial capacity on the new book. I credit her. And I had admired her, you know, as a writer for years and years. I love Into the Free and Perennials and just all of her books. In an editorial capacity, she was amazing because I remember she picked up the phone and called me and she said, you know, here's what you need to think about. Here's how you shape the story going forward. And it really changed the book for the better. I was trying to have in The Good Luck Stone, kind of similar to Maranatha, where I was trying to have two main characters. And in that particular story, it didn't work. It really was Audrey Thorpe's story. And Julie was the person who pinpointed that for me. So that, you know, that just really, I'm so thankful to her for that advice that she gave me.
That's so great. I'm always amazed. I guess I shouldn't say amazed because it's not surprising because authors tend to be very generous with their time and just encouraging of one another. But I feel like in so many interviews I hear from someone, oh, this author was so pivotal in helping me with that book, or that author gave me my break, or it's just amazing all the different connections to one another that authors seem to have.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's such a generosity of spirit in the writing community.
There really is. And actually I was thinking too, Julie Cantrell has a special place in my heart. I think she was the first author that I had put a review up or something of Perennials because I just adored it. And she actually responded online and retweeted it or something. That was like right when I first was starting with the blog and podcast and just thought, oh, like this is so exciting to actually be interacting with her. Even in that way, she was just so kind. So we touched a little bit on the second book. I would love to hear more. And you may have mentioned when it comes out, but I tell us again.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm eager to read it.
The book is called The Good Luck Stone, and it's coming out from Haywire Books in July. So July 7th of this year. It is about an aging society woman. She's 90 years old, who lives in Savannah, Georgia. And she suddenly disappears when a secret she has kept since World War II begins to unravel. It's a dual timeline. So we go back in time to when her name is Audrey Thorpe. She served as a nurse in the South Pacific. And so we go back in time to the Philippines where she was serving as a nurse. And we lead up to this momentous decision that she had to make during the war that ended up changing the course of her life. And nobody knows that secret. You know, nobody's still around who would know about it. And then we have this other character. This is the one I mentioned before that ended up being a secondary character. She is a caretaker. So she's a middle-aged woman in Savannah, and she takes this job helping take care of this 90-year-old woman, and things are going well. They're bonding. They're actually becoming friends. And then it's a huge blow, obviously, when she shows up to Audrey's house one day and Audrey has disappeared. It kind of, you know, she had begun to think of Audrey as this really impressive, wonderful person. And so she begins to have doubts about Audrey's character. Maybe she didn't know her as well as she thought she did.
Oh, that sounds great.
So we go back and forth between kind of 2010 timeframe in Savannah, Georgia, and then the war in the Philippines.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. And selfishly, I'm very excited because I love reading books set where I have traveled or I'm traveling, and I'm going to Savannah for the first time in May. So I'm excited to then read something set there. That's always fun.
It's a beautiful spot. It really is.
Well, I also always love to hear what authors have been reading lately. Are there any books you've been reading lately you'd want to recommend?
Sure. You know, this time of year when everybody is looking back and doing their best of, you know, 2019 list, I will mention my favorite book that came out last year is called The Dearly Beloved by Kara Wall.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It was a read with Jenna pick, Jenna Bush Hager.
Oh, right.
I think it's been, you know, it's gotten other acclaim as well. It's the story of these two married couples. The men are co-pastors of a church in New York. And the story begins, I think it's maybe roughly the 1950s or so, when each couple is in college and meeting. And then it follows them throughout most of their adult lives, really. And it is so wonderful because the characters seem so genuine. I mean, each of the four, the two wives and the two husbands, you know, they struggle with their faith, their discussions in there. You know, the men are ministers, but as life throws curveballs at them, they question their faith. They grapple with different questions. The two, you know, wives have different disagreements or hardships with each other. It's just a really character-driven story that by the end you feel like you know these people. And I just love that.
That is right up my alley. I'm going to need to place my library hold.
Beautiful.
I'm going to need to place my library hold right away. And that's reminding me too. Did I read somewhere that you're a Sue Monk Kidd fan?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
I do love her.
Well, you're making me think this would be right up your alley. I am very excited. I got the arc for her new book, The Book of Longing.
You did?
Have you heard about this one?
I heard that it was coming out.
I feel like this is going to be right up your alley based on that description. And it's amazing so far. But it basically, the premise is, what if Jesus had had a wife, and a very like scholarly, spiritual in her own right, kind of feminist wife, and what effect would that have had on religion and the church? It's fascinating so far, and just I mean, they said that she did tons of research for this, just very like rooted in the time period, and it's highly recommended. So I'm gonna place my library hold for that one that you mentioned, and I bet you would like the Book of Longings.
I love that title too.
Yes. I have a feeling this is going to be a big book of hers. Well, if people are hoping to follow you and find out about you, where should they go online? Where are you most active?
So I do have a website, heatherbelladams.com. I'm on Instagram, probably the most of any social media platform, and I'm just Heather Bell Adams there as well. I'm on Twitter. It's Heather Bell Adam, because I ran out of characters. And then I'm on Facebook as Heather Bell Adams there as well. Wonderful. So, I look forward to meeting people.
Great. And I'll definitely link to your website and to all the books that we mentioned. And just thank you for coming on the podcast and chatting more about the book. I'm really looking forward to the new book as well. And I think readers are really going to enjoy Maranatha Road, and I hope they go pick it up.
Thank you. It's been so much fun talking with you.
Yes.
I hope you head to your local library or bookstore to pick up a copy of Maranatha Road. If you're looking for more book recommendations, you can follow me on social media at A Bookish Home, or you can visit my blog, abookishhome.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, if you could take a moment to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts, that would be so helpful. You could also share the episode on social media with your friends. Thanks so much, and happy reading!